Very good morning, though, to Tony Grasso, who is our technology commentator and security expert. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So TikTok's launched a bug bounty program.
Yes.
Explain a little more, please.
Okay, why this is exciting is a TikTok we know is a Chinese-based program that a lot of people are using for small video clips. Not something I ever do myself, but it was even on the Prime Minister, was our Prime Minister Jacinda, was on a TikTok video and is being used in Parliament. So it's a Chinese program that the US tried to ban. And TikTok it's turned into a massive chess game between the US government and the Chinese government. It's in Chinese interests to have TikTok and its large footprint available in other countries. And so the way TikTok has tried to appease the US government is to create this bug bounty program. So what that means is people all around the world, hackers, can try and find issues with it, and then they reveal the issue to TikTok. TikTok pays them a bounty for finding that issue, and then they are under requirement to fix it. Why I think this is so clever is that the US government are making TikTok fix their own problems, so that if TikTok is used by the Chinese government for anything nefarious, it has to be done not through defects that are there, but through legitimate accounts.
And just explain a bit more about what the value of this kind of an approach is.
Well, listen, I'll talk a little bit widely here. But what's really interesting, being in the intelligence industry, is there is an enormous amount of money spent by governments to try and gain access to people who are interesting and gather intelligence. And the approach that China has taken, I believe, and this is just my belief, is that they're actually getting the consumer to actually buy devices and programs, install programs that the Chinese government can have access to and control. So I think it's a very, very clever strategy. You know, we have to think that in New Zealand, the backbone has got Huawei gear in it. I think it's Spark and another provider also use Huawei routers in our homes. And they also, as we know, are trying to get into 5G. So they've actually got quite a lot of access to foreign traffic. So I think it's very clever.
How would this satisfy the likes of the US, however, which of course has issues around TikTok? I'm not quite clear on how this program would satisfy what some of those concerns are.
Well, I mean, it's a chess game, right? So US government says you're banned for these reasons because you've got lots of defects and we think it's bad. So TikTok responds with, first of all, they've partnered with Oracle as a custodian for their data. Oracle is an American database company. And then TikTok have made this bug bounty program. So they're saying, look, we're doing everything we can to make our program as safe as possible. And it's just a massive political chess game. And I have to say, from the outside, I do enjoy watching it unravel.
And explain more about how it's unraveling.
Well, it's more like, because ultimately the US want to ban this program without doing it so overtly. So they're putting as much pressure as they can to try and make TikTok withdraw. And so, and just say, look, it's become too hard and we'll just withdraw from America. But instead, TikTok are going, okay, so they partnered with an American company and then they've also done this bug bounty program to satisfy what the US are publicly saying about TikTok. So it's kind of interesting. And I think that the US government will keep putting pressure on TikTok because I think they want rid of them. They're just trying to find a way that globally would sound like a fair assessment.
In TikTok's own situation, it wants a large user base because it wants to be a big company, but you see state reasons as well.
Yeah, I mean, we know that unlike in our countries and our friends' countries where the government can request help from a commercial company, but they can't force you. So I'm a private limited company, and the New Zealand government can come and say, look, we think you could really help us. And I can say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. And I have liberty to do that, right? All of our wars have been about giving me that liberty that our government can't pressurize us to do what we don't want to do. Whereas in China, it is expected, if you're a commercial company, you will help the government.
What's happening with your second story and this imposter posing as an American surgeon? This sounds like quite a complex scam, is it?
The COVID one? Is that the one we're talking about
there?
Yeah. Well, it's what's really interesting for me is I'm now across two COVID science establishments here in New Zealand who are worried about losing their data, oddly enough. So I'm consulting for them. And there is a massive push, as we know, it's a little bit like the space race, in my opinion, where there was an awful lot of credibility to be had for the first person to land on the moon, right? So this is very similar. We've got this massive crisis. Which country is going to come out as the winner, I suppose, and save the rest of the world? So there's lots of cred points to be had. And we know for certain that China and Russia, so this has been reported in the UK press and the American press, are aggressively trying to gather information from all the science establishments in those countries and over here to try and get a leg up on what people are researching. As we know, we believe that England is ahead in their COVID research and may have a vaccine out, but it's a race to the end. And I think this is a great example of just we call these human operations, right? So it's not technical. It's actually somebody sending an email, trying to pose as that person to try and get information, right? Where the technical operations would be that they just get hackers to go into the research places and try and gather as much data as they can. So again, COVID is a big golden egg for someone, and everybody's after it. So it's kind of fun to watch from the outside.
So what's happening is that someone is posing as a leading science journalist and asking get science, leading scientists to communicate and then communicate with a fake account. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You described that really well. Just to engage them so they can start asking questions. You know, because it's a great way to look like a friendly face, right? Somebody that they recognize in the industry and start a conversation, right? And that's all part of a human operations, is to build a rapport, build trust, maybe get a bit more data, maybe get access to some of their research before it gets published. It's one of the two methods that you do. The other one is being technical.
So is it possible there's a bit of a combination here that if they can get the scientists to engage, because they're clicking on a link, aren't they, going through to some kind of a website, a Teams website, I think. And then what? Does that allow some hacking to happen as well? Is this why you think it might be a bit more sophisticated than just someone having a laugh?
Absolutely. I don't think – I would be amazed if this was somebody having a laugh. I think this is utterly purposeful. And, you know, you don't ever just do one approach. You do multiple approaches. Because, you know, not all of them will be successful, but you only need one to be successful, remember. You know, you don't have to have multiples to be successful. You only need one way to get in, and then you can find what you need. So, yeah, I absolutely think this is a sophisticated approach.
Again, does that suggest there would be a state or a national interest in this kind of attempt?
Ultimately, yes. You've got to also remember that there's quite a good market for governments to buy information from freelance hackers, right? So it's not necessarily always a government hacking employee that's doing this. Lots of countries encourage freelance hacking and will buy the information if it's available. And it's you can validate it and so on, they'll buy it. So it actually creates an underworld hacking community that we just never seen before. It's normally being restricted to governments only.
Now, just freak us out completely with an iCloud email that can hack your online iCloud account.
No, listen, I don't want to freak anyone out, but it is very true. So this is I always encourage people generally to try and use Apple products, because generally speaking, and I'm sure you're going to get floods of emails, but generally speaking, they are more secure for a bunch of reasons. But this one was really interesting. It was a researcher found it, but what they did is they're able to send you an email on your iCloud. And if you go through the web interface on your desktop, this email will actually grab all of your photos and all of your data and send it to the attacker through what is called a cross-site scripting attack. What's interesting about the attack is it's relatively basic. This is not new. It's a bit like the denial of service attack we saw in NZX. It's old school, man. We should be past this. It's almost like getting the Black Plague again. You know, we've learned from that and we've put things in place to stop it and we haven't seen it come up again. But, you know, DDoS and cross-site scripting, these are so old attacks. I'm amazed we're getting hit, and I'm more amazed somebody as big as Apple have such a glaring and obvious hole in their online system. But yeah, it was a hell of a good find. But I still put my faith in generally in Apple products more so. I think they generally are more secure, but this was quite a good find.
So what's specific about this thing called cross-site scripting? What's different about it?
It literally is just a way for you to take advantage of the way your system executes code and do things it's not meant to. And it takes advantage of your credentials and your session. But as I say, it's a very, very old attack. And it really isn't special anymore. You know, this should be something that we no longer fall foul of, especially if you're a multi-billion organization like Apple. I mean, that to me is the big thing. I'd understand if it was like a small government agency or a commercial firm or something like that, but not Apple, you know. So that to me is the headline here.
It's funny, as I'm just thinking, the rate of evolution of technology is probably many, many, many times faster than the rate of evolution of our brains and the vulnerabilities and some of the decisions we make, yeah. Right?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I mean, again, that's true. Yeah, I agree with that.
Thank you, Tony. It's always a pleasure. Tony Grasso.
Thank you so much.
See you later. Tony Grasso is our tech commentator today. He is a security specialist.